You're listening to the Hippie Haven podcast, where we have honest conversations about how easy and sometimes how hard it can be to save the planet and why it's so important. If this is your first time listening, welcome. My name's Callie. I'm a zero waste activist and consultant, the founder of Bestowed Essentials, my line of ethical and eco-friendly lifestyle products, and I travel full-time around the United States in my camper van, hence my blog name, ahippieinavan.com, which is where you can go to learn more about me, this podcast, and all the work I do. My mission is to inspire you to take action, because the planet needs our help now more than ever, and I truly believe that together, we can make a difference. This episode of the Hippie Haven podcast is brought to you by Sustain, makers of natural feminine care products. Most products we're using down there contain ingredients that harm your body rather than help it. With Sustain, they're committed to always putting your health first, which means their products are better, safer, and more vagina-friendly than traditional brands, and bonus points for being socially and environmentally conscious as well. They use fair trade latex for their condoms and organic cotton for their tampons. Plus, they give 10% of their profits to women's healthcare organizations. Save $5 off your first order by visiting ahippieinavan.com/sustain. Thanks for supporting our partners. Happy holidays and a merry day after Christmas if you just celebrated that. This week's episode is a little different, a little bit more laid back due to the festivities. You might have already heard this episode, actually, if you saw the Instagram live I did a couple weeks back on my account at A Hippie in a Van with Sabrina Katz of at Sustainable Sabs. But if not, we chat all about zero waste, veganism, minimalism, including common zero waste misconceptions, tips on going vegan, using a safety razor, her favorite books, New Year's resolutions, and we answer a few questions from the live viewers as well. To give her a proper introduction, Sabrina Katz is a Texas girl now living in Brooklyn, New York, working as the communication and marketing director for the Wally Shop, the first zero-waste grocery delivery company, launching now in select NYC zip codes. Now, because we were recording on both our computers for this podcast audio and on our cell phones for the Instagram Live, there are a few places where there's a slight echo. And also, I accidentally muted my side of the recording for the very first two questions I asked. So here's Sabs with how she got started in both zero waste and veganism, as well as how she ended up in New York.
So the summer after my freshman year, I went vegetarian. I read this book called Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, I think is how it's pronounced, F-O-E-R. And it was really interesting. It actually talked a lot about the environmental aspect of eating animals. And I decided to become vegetarian after reading it. And a year after, on my 1 year vegetarian anniversary, I became vegan. It started out as a challenge to myself, like a 1 week long challenge just to see how I liked it. And it was ended up being a lot easier than I had expected. So I kept on with it, with my veganism. And then a month later or so, a friend and I were about to move in together, for the semester of school, and she told me about zero waste, and I was like, there's no way that that's possible. Like, how can you not make any trash? Like, what about, you know, tofu containers and like your like hair ties and like all of this stuff? And slowly we also challenged ourselves, similar to how I challenged myself to go vegan, and it was a lot easier than expected after that transition period. And so I've kind of been zero waste ever since. I came to New York by way of Boston. I went to Boston University, and I went there because I wanted to get out of Texas. I'd never lived anywhere else in my life before, and I wanted to travel and kind of be more independent and be on my own and kind of find myself. So I went to Boston, lived there for 4 years while I was in school, and then after I knew I didn't want to go back to Texas, I didn't really have any particular location that I was enamored by, but one of my friends was moving to New York and she kind of convinced me. So I moved to New York after that.
Awesome. And so you're currently working as a marketing director at the Wally Shop. Tell me about that company.
Yeah, it's actually very cool. We're a startup. It is a zero waste grocery delivery service, the first of its kind, pretty much. So Not only is everything in all reusable packaging, we actually will pick up the reusable packaging after you're finished using it. We also source everything from local farmers markets and bulk shops. So when you shop from us, you're supporting local farmers, small organic stores. So it's kind of helping this more circular economy and helping support the little guys that are ethically sourcing all of their produce and their ingredients.
That's awesome. So, and that's in the New York City area?
It's in Brooklyn right now. We just launched at the end of October, but as we continue, we're hoping to expand to other areas of New York City and hopefully into other cities as we continue to grow.
Nice. And if anybody wants to look them up on Instagram, that's at the Wally Shop, but it's W-A-L-L-Y.
Yeah. Actually, I can tell you the story behind the name. It seems kind of interesting. And when I first heard about it, I was very intrigued as to where the name Wally comes from. But the name The Wally Shop was inspired by this cooperative of individuals from India called the Dabbawala. And they essentially go to people's homes and pick up a lunch of like a father or somebody who works in the city. So they're freshly made lunches, usually prepared by like a wife or a daughter. They bring the lunch in a metal container to their husband in the city. They, you know, finish their lunch, and then the Dabbawala member will take their finished metal container, bring it back home. So it's a completely zero waste system. It's been going on for over 100 years. Thousands of people participate in it every single day. And it's kind of like what our goal is, to, you know, have this closed loop system, no trash, and just very, you know, working very well, same day delivery, all that kind of stuff.
That is incredible. That sounds super cool. So tell me about some common zero waste misconceptions that you see a lot.
I think that there is a misconception that there's only one way to be zero waste, and that's like having a trash jar and having all perfect mason jars, when in reality, zero waste is kind of doing the best with what you have. You don't have to go out and buy all of these new gadgets and things. Like, you don't, if you don't use straws, you don't need to go out and buy like a bamboo straw if you don't ever use them, or if you find that you don't need it. All of your jars don't have to match. If you happen to have a bunch of, you know, old pasta jars, as long as they're working, that's what you should be using. You don't have to go out and buy a bunch of stuff. It's just a matter of repurposing what you have and making use of all of those things.
Definitely. What is your number one zero waste essential?
Probably a glass jar. I have a bunch of mason jars, but also a lot of repurposed jars, like old peanut butter jars, for example. And what I do now is I'll wrap them in rubber bands to act as kind of like insulation. So for example, that's good if I'm going out to a coffee shop and I don't want to burn my hands, I'll use the rubber bands to help prevent me from getting burned. But also it acts well as, you know, it can hold leftovers from, let's say you're going out for dinner. It also works as a water bottle. It can serve as like a holder for compost, or if you're out shopping and you want to buy like some chocolate or something and you need just a container, you can put it in there. So that's probably my number one most versatile zero waste essential.
Yeah, it is very versatile. So a lot of these zero waste swaps are pretty easy, you know, switching from a plastic straw to a metal straw, using reusable tote bags. Like, it doesn't take any new skills, any new way of using it. One of the things that is very complicated for a lot of people, or at least very daunting to start with, is using a safety razor instead of plastic disposable razors. And I'll be honest, so I bought one like 2 months ago and I still haven't actually tried it yet. It's still just sitting in the box. So I saw that was something that you talked about in an Instagram post a while back. So walk us through, like, is it actually easy to use a stainless steel razor? Should we be scared of them, or is it like super simple?
I actually, it took me a while to start using mine as well. But when I eventually did, it actually ended up being quite simple. Just, you know, like with anything new that you try, just, you know, go slow. Don't like try to, you know, be an expert when you're just a beginner. But honestly, at this point, like, I find no difference between using whatever plastic razor I was before and using the stainless steel razor. I've heard some people say that if you are a beginner, that they would recommend using one with a slightly longer handle just so that you get a better grip. So that would be my one recommendation. But yeah, just, you know, take your time. There's no rush. And then after you get the hang of it, you know, it should be pretty easy.
Yeah. What about shaving cream? What's a good zero waste replacement for that?
Actually, before I even was zero waste, sometimes I would just run out of shaving cream, and my mom told me to just use whatever soap that I was using. So I'll just use like a bar of soap. One thing that I really like to do is I have this little baggie of soap ends that I leave in my shower, and that lathers really well because it's in a bag. So I'll just use that instead of like a shaving cream. Somebody says they just use their shampoo bar. That's also a great option. Very versatile. Yeah,
I mean, a shampoo bar is just a type of soap, so definitely works. Now, for when you're traveling, what are your recommendations or tips for buying travel souvenirs as like a zero waste minimalist? Do you think it's like, should we still buy souvenirs? What do you recommend that somebody buy if they want to? What are your thoughts?
So one thing I noticed, I used to work in an office in downtown. And one thing I noticed is that when some of my coworkers came back from a trip, for example, they would bring souvenirs, but it was souvenirs that like weren't really particularly useful. Like it would be a magnet or like a bookmark or whatever, something like that. But one time one of my coworkers brought back, she went to France and she brought back these lavender soaps and lavender lotions. And I was like, okay, that's something that we could actually, that could be quite useful. So when I do travel, if I do want to bring things home, I take that idea, which is getting things that can be used up. So for example, if it's food, so like a special kind of delicacy that you can only get at the place that you're traveling to, or it's like a lotion, for example, or some sort of packetry soap. That's the kind of thing that I would get, or it would be like a special postcard, and I would send a postcard when I'm home, or sorry, when I'm traveling, and then they would see where I'm traveling to. So those are probably my recommendations, or something that you think that would be useful, like a book or, you know, a candle, something that you know somebody else would love. One really cool gift that somebody gave me when they were traveling is they found these women who were making their own blankets, and they, you know, they charged ethical prices. So like she was able to support a local business or local woman who was, you know, had her own small business. And also I got this really cool blanket that I still use today. So
that is really cool. And that totally reminds me, because I never buy travel souvenirs for myself, but I always send my grandmother a postcard every time I go somewhere. And then that reminds me, I'm like, I'm in South Dakota. I need to like send my grandma a postcard. She'll probably watch this too. So hi, grandma, I'm sending you a postcard soon. What are your favorite zero waste and or vegan books?
Well, definitely Eating Animals, which I had mentioned before, is a great one. Zero waste books. I feel like I haven't read a ton of zero waste books. I tend to read a lot of like fiction books, but I did read Ashley Piper's Give a Shit. I know she was on before, and I actually got to shout out to Ashley. Yeah, I got the chance to meet her at the Well Summit, which is the summit in New York, and it was so lovely to hear her speak. But that was a great book. I read this book called The Ethics of What We Eat, which is about the impact of, you know, our food decisions. That one was really good. I feel like I tend to read more vegan blogs. I know that sometime next year I will be featured in, my writing will be featured in Chickpea Mag, which is this vegan magazine. So I'll be writing a story for them. So they also, you know, they have great photography. There are no ads in their magazine, which is really cool. It's just articles. So would recommend them.
Quick pause for everybody who is just joined. You are welcome to ask any questions that you have for either of us in the questions section, and we are happy to answer those. We're just kind of talking about zero waste, veganism, minimalism, and all of that. Let's see. Okay, my next question is about minimalism. So what is like your definition for minimalism as pertains to your life, and how does it overlap with zero waste for you?
So for me, minimalism is kind of paring down to really the things that make you most happy. So I kind of took my first kind of steps into minimalism while I was in college because I moved every single year and it was such a hassle to have to schlep everything and to like pack everything up and unpack everything. And I remember my freshman year, I didn't have anything, any posters on my walls because I was like, well, I'm not going to stay here forever. What's the point of me decorating if I'm going to have to take it all down? And everyone thought I was a weirdo, but I don't care. I kind of like started to realize that having fewer things made me less stressed. And so I learned more about, you know, the impact of getting rid of the excess. And I think it overlaps a lot with zero waste because living zero waste, you are very conscious of everything that you bring into your home and into your life. And that's the same with minimalism. You only bring in the things that you really find value in and that add value to your life. So now I make a concerted effort to do a lot of research. If I decide I want to buy something, usually it'll be secondhand, or if I buy something new, I make sure it's ethically made or ethically produced. So it, you know, aligns with all of these values.
What do you still splurge on and why?
Every so often I'll buy something from an ethically made, from an ethical fashion brand. The last thing I splurged on was this pair of Tencel pants. So Tencel is a relatively new material made from eucalyptus leaves or eucalyptus trees. And it's from this brand called Amour Vert, which means green love. They're based in California. And they're ethically produced. I think everything is made in the U.S. And so every, you know, I try not to buy too much new stuff, but if I do, that is the one thing that I would splurge on, is something that I find that I would wear a lot. And I kind of break it down as a cost per wear. So if I know that I'll wear it at least once a week for the next 3 or 4 years, then in the long run, it'll pay off. I realize that that's not feasible for everyone, but that's one thing that I do personally like to splurge on. Not all the time. Every so often.
Yeah, definitely. What are your tips for going vegan?
With anything, there's going to be a transition period. And when you are starting in one place and you see and you're trying to get somewhere and it's so different from how you currently live, it's going to be very daunting. But the thing that makes it less daunting is kind of taking it slowly and taking it at your own pace. There's no competition. There's nobody forcing you to go a certain like vegan overnight. So it's whatever you think is best for you. I would recommend if, you know, you're total meat eater, like normal American standard American diet, I would recommend, you know, making a few swaps. Like if, for example, if you're used to eating chicken every night for dinner, maybe try to eat chicken only, you know, 3 or 4 times a week and see how that goes, replacing those meals with chickpeas or beans or pasta or whatever it is, and just kind of slowly transitioning so that it becomes normal for you and it doesn't become this huge kind of shift that you're not used to and then you feel like you're missing out afterwards.
Definitely. What are your vegan bulk food staples? What do you buy every week?
I buy a lot of apples because I live in New York. I always, in bulk, things that I always have on hand are oats, rice, pasta. I'm very lucky to be able to get pasta in bulk because when I lived in Boston, I did not have pasta in bulk.
It's weird how hard it is to find it. Like,
definitely.
To me, it just, goes with like oats and grains and rice. And then I'm actually surprised by how many bulk food stores don't have pasta.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm it's very,
I need this. Come on.
It's very strange. Actually, when I didn't have access to bulk pasta, I was more inclined to make it fresh, which can be a lot of work. I'll look back on it and I've definitely made like fresh ravioli with like fresh pasta, and like I had to make the inside of the ravioli and then I had to boil it. That took a long time.
See, I'm way too lazy for that. Like, I do not have the patience to spend hours making my food. I just want to grab it and eat it and be done.
Yeah, usually I would never do that, but I was with a friend, so like we were cooking together, so it wasn't like, oh, I just need some food right now. But pasta is a staple, rice, beans, oats, and then I usually like to have some sort of snacky thing on hand. So I have popcorn kernels. I usually have some sort of nut or like peanuts or sunflower seeds on hand. I like to have dates if possible, or some other sort of like trail mix / dried fruit. And then always on hand, I like to have a bunch of fruits and vegetables. So one thing that's nice about being vegan is pretty much all the stuff that I would eat can be found in a bulk section, aside from more specialty products like fake cheeses and ice cream and that kind of stuff. So living zero waste has really put my health in check. I eat very much a whole foods, plant-based diet, which I feel really good about. But every so often I will, you know, go out to this vegan diner by my apartment called Champs. That's really great. And I'll have some fake meat and stuff. But for the most part, it's pretty much just whole foods.
So something that I don't see talked about very often, and so it's kind of, I'm not really sure how to phrase it, but like, what are your thoughts on the intersection of being vegan or not being vegan and considering yourself an environmentalist?
I feel like this has come up kind of a lot recently, and just like I feel like people are very quick to criticize others for their choices. And you know, there's always going to be the vegan police. There's always going to be the zero waste police out there trying to tell you how to live. And I think that if you are making an effort to make better choices, in your life, then how can anybody judge you for that? For example, I recently went home to Texas to visit for Thanksgiving, and somebody commented and said, you know, how could you be okay with flying when, you know, that completely undoes all of the efforts that you've made just with this one flight? And it's like, can't we all just, you know, can't we all just get along? Yeah. Not that, but everybody's on their own journey. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is meant to be perfect. Nobody has to be perfect. And for other people to expect the people that they follow or the people that are inspiring them to be perfect is really just, they're just going to get disappointed. Like, we're all human and we're all doing as much as we can. And we have to realize that on the other side of the screen or the computer is another human being who's just trying their best.
Definitely. Quite a few months ago, I don't even remember when, it was the beginning of the year, I think, that there was that whole controversy around the package-free shop. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it started as just a pretty innocent enough sounding quote that was posted on their store's Instagram page, a quote by the founder, Lauren Singer, who is very well known in the zero waste field. I mean, she's definitely up there as one of the leaders. But I think a bigger part of the controversy came from when people started to speak about like how they interpreted the quote, how it made them feel, like ways that it could have been phrased differently. The company decided, instead of engaging with their customers in a thoughtful discussion that affects all these different people, to just delete and block people, everyone who said anything that wasn't in 100% agreement. And so that just made it even more of an issue. What were your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on, somebody's asking, what was the quote about? Oh, I don't remember. Do you remember what the quote was?
Yeah. She said, essentially, no matter who you are, where you live, how much money you make, we can all take steps to be more environmentally conscious or environmentally friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were your thoughts on not just the quote, but how the entire situation was handled?
It was, you know, such a bummer because I know so many people who looked up to Lauren. I had met her a couple of times since I had moved to Brooklyn. And it's just a very, very privileged point of view to have, to be able to say, oh, everybody, hey, Verwaini. it's very privileged point of view to say that everybody can do something, because as not only are you, is that quote coming from somebody who grew up white, middle class, middle upper class, who has, you know, who has a lot of resources for her, she, you know, she doesn't understand, or maybe she probably doesn't think about the mother with four children who doesn't even fathom going to a bulk store to get organic rice instead of the rice that's the cheapest on the shelf. So it's so it was really frustrating to see that, and especially the deleting of comments, which is just almost violent. Like when you, you know, for lately, you know, with the zero waste movement, sorry, with the Me Too movement, where women who have for years felt uncomfortable have decided to come out and share their stories, and people are shutting them down and telling them that they're wrong. That's violent. And the fact that that people who were speaking out against Lauren Singer were getting gaslighted like that, it's just, you know, this community, I feel like, has been so powerful and so inspiring to me. And seeing that, seeing Lauren's reaction and Package Free's reaction, was really just kind of like this, you know, awful, just, it's seeing the top and seeing, you know, your light, and then it's just like complete darkness after, because that was who you looked up to, that was your beacon. And so I think afterwards, a lot of people in this movement, in the zero waste movement, kind of looked to each other and were like, okay, we need to be more thoughtful with who we look up to, and we need to question our authority, and we need to make sure that the people that are inspiring us are doing it for the right reasons and not just for making money and being trendy and all of that kind of stuff. I know that was a very long-winded answer, so I apologize.
No, I definitely want to hear your opinion. And I totally agree. They were, by deleting and blocking people, they were silencing voices, and it definitely was. It was gaslighting. It was a form of oppression in a way. And I saw on Lauren Singer's Instagram recently that, you know, in her bio, she refers to herself as the face of zero waste.
Let me tell you, I saw that like a couple, I don't even follow her, but I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, the audacity that you have to say that about yourself, like, come on. This is like, it's such a, I feel like it's, for her, it's such a trend when this zero waste movement in the past, 100 years ago, that was the norm. Like, okay, so that means my great grandmother was the face of the zero waste movement. It just wasn't called zero waste. So I'm just so frustrated by her in general.
I don't think really anyone should call themselves the face of anything.
That's some kind of confidence that you got to say that.
Yeah. Because there's so many different types of people that are involved in the zero waste movement, and yeah, an upper middle class, white privileged girl living in the heart of one of the biggest cities in the world isn't the face of zero waste. You know, something I learned growing up was to find the silver lining in every dark cloud. You mentioned it, and I think the silver lining was us being more thoughtful and the conversations that came out of it. And you've been one of the people who've kept that conversation going like this entire year since it happened, with doing your regular hashtag companies that actually give a shit. And so tell me about that. Tell me how do you research? How do you find those companies? And is that something you're going to keep doing for like forever? What's your plans with it?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I've been doing it every week and I have loved doing it. I've found so many super cool companies. And actually, recently when I was home, my mom told me that obviously she follows me, and she was like, oh, I'm going to buy this lotion from one of the companies that you recommended. So that was really cool. But just in the people that I follow, ever since the package-free controversy happened, I have made a concerted effort to follow people that don't look like me. So I've found some really, really cool brands. And then just in my own research, I'll come across some cool companies and I'll look to see who they're started by. So like whenever I'm just on my explore page, I'll just look through like the low impact movement hashtag or the zero waste hashtag, and I'll find some really cool brands, or it'll be a brand that, last week I went to this, this conversation between a couple of sustainable fashion brands, were all started by Black women, I talked about one of them called Chelsea Bravo, who I highly recommend, gorgeous minimalist fashion designer. I guess that's kind of how I discover them. Or I'll be following somebody and they'll recommend, or they'll talk about this brand that they love, and then I'll just do some research and see who they were started by.
Nice. So I told you one of these questions, and then I have another one that I'm just going to kind of throw a ball at you that wasn't on that list that I sent you. So, and this is kind of an indicator of like how far I went and like Insta stalked you before this interview. So at the end of 2017, you posted 5 of your 2018 New Year's resolutions. Do you remember those 5?
Oh my God. I honestly don't even remember. I remember one of them, because I have done it for the last several years, and that was to read at least 25 books. And I have read 37 books this year because I used to commute into Manhattan every day. And then I know another one was go to a different cultural experience in New York City, which I have not been doing the last few months.
But who are all these hearts coming from, and why? What are all the hearts?
I don't know, but I love it.
All right. So yes, your 5 2018 New Year's resolutions were to read 25 books. So bravo for getting that done. And you did. Okay. You also specified that all 25 books had to be bought secondhand. Did you accomplish that?
Yes. Except for Ashley's book. That was the only new book that I bought.
Fair. Totally fair. All right. Your second goal was to try fermenting foods.
I am currently, it's kind of a secret, but I don't think she's watching right now. I'm, for one of my friends for Christmas gift, I'm making her vanilla extract. So I don't think it's fermenting, because it's just vanilla beans and plain alcohol. And it's like supposed to sit for a couple of months. Oh, but I have made apple cider vinegar several times.
Okay, that's fermenting, right?
Yeah. I mean, from scratch. Even though I had made it before. So it's not new fermenting, but it's still something.
There's still time before the end of the year to do one thing.
That's true. I need to do something.
All right. Goal number 3 was to write more. I don't know how you're quantifying that.
I definitely would say that since I started working at the Wally Shop, I have definitely been writing more, because that's pretty much, I write all the social media, everything on social media. I wrote everything on their website, all the about page and the homepage, all that text. So definitely have been writing more than I was in my last role, and then just in general. So yes, have been writing more.
Good. Number 4 was to go to one new event in the city a month.
Okay. So the first couple of months of the year, I was doing that, and I was making a concerted effort to do that. I think after middle of the year, I kind of wasn't, because I just got really busy with work. But I'm going to do something this month. I'm telling myself I'm going to do something this month.
Yes. Definitely. And your last goal was to meet zero waste people.
I have. Oh my God, I've met so many zero waste people this year, which has been so, so lovely. And so I met up with Ferwaini from Zero Waste Habesha last month, I think, which was so lovely. She's so lovely. And then I've met up with there was a zero waste meetup by Jess with Less, she and Crust of the Earth, and a couple other people. Meg Makes Less Waste was there, Ariana Priddle was there, and then a couple others who I got to meet, which was so nice. And then, yeah, I think I've definitely met more. I ran into Eating with Max La Manna a couple times. I've run into Stevie. I ran into her in the spring. So I definitely have. That has been a highlight of this year, is meeting so many zero waste people.
That's awesome. I can tell just from the way that you're like a face lit up about it, that you're really excited.
I know. Yeah. It's so great.
All right. So this question is obviously for you because I'm talking to you, but for the people that are watching this Instagram live and then everybody who listens to this podcast episode when it comes out the day after Christmas, for all of us, what are your 2019 New Year's resolutions, especially like zero waste related ones?
Oh no, you got me off guard. I want to try out more vegan restaurants in New York. For the most, like this year, I've definitely gone to a lot of new ones, which has been really, I've been so happy seeing all these new ones pop up. So I want to do that. Want to kind of continue meeting more zero waste people. I would love to be more involved in the zero waste community in New York and in Brooklyn. Last weekend I went to this Sustainable Ladies meetup, which I've been to. We had a meetup once before, and it's organized by this girl named Shannon from Mama Eco. Which has been, it's been so nice kind of like having a group of people that I get to meet up with every so often. And, you know, we exchange ideas. A lot of them are also bloggers. So we talk about blogging and, you know, how everything's going with us and how we kind of manage our life and social media. Okay, so favorite vegan restaurants in the city. Favorite, which I went to this past weekend, which is very, very expensive. So you have to save up to, before you go. But ABCV, Lord Almighty, probably the best meal I've ever had in my life was from there. So ABCV, I would recommend. Champ's Diner, which is really great. It's like all vegan diner food. Cinnamon Snail is, they have the best vegan donuts ever. And Van Leeuwen, which is not 100% vegan, but they do have a lot of vegan ice cream. That's great. And then the last one is Brooklyn Whiskers, which is this vegan, all vegan cafe. They have two locations, one in Greenpoint, one in Bushwick. And they have all vegan pastries and like croissants and cakes and donuts and all this great stuff. So also, I also have a highlight in my profile called Vegan in NYC. And those are all the places that the vegan places that I have been to that I like in New York. Lindsay said, how did you find your job? What advice would you have for people who want zero waste jobs? So, okay, this is very much an anomaly that I have this job because the CEO of the Wally Shop, Tamara, found me through my blog. She also went to Boston University. So after she found me and she found out that I went to BU, we had this, you know, we just kind of like had coffee together, kind of like a networking meeting. And I didn't know she had a company at this point. I just thought, you know, she's trying to connect with other sustainable people in the city. So I met up with her and we were just talking about our lives. And she asked me what I did in the city. And I told her I worked at this nonprofit. And so I was, you know, telling her about it. And she was like, actually, you know, we have, I have this zero waste startup and we're looking for a marketing and communications person. Would you be interested in working with us part-time? And I was like, is this real life? So I, you know, started working for them part-time, and then she asked if I wanted to join full-time, and I said yes, 100%. So I, it's, like I said, definitely an anomaly. I feel so, so lucky. It is absolutely a zero-waste fairy tale. And I, you know, thank my lucky stars every day. But, yeah, I think my recommendation would be, if there are companies that you like, specifically like zero waste companies, reach out to them specifically, like go to their website, find their email address and reach out to them, or reach out to somebody on LinkedIn that works there. And instead of going through like a more generic job site, look at the brand specifically that you would work for. So like, let's say you really are into sustainability and fashion, go to Reformation's website and see if they're looking for people, or go to Everlane's website and see if they're looking for people, or whatever brands that you like and see if they have openings. So that would be my first recommendation.
Yeah, I would say, I know you can go to like Indeed.com or whatever, and you can set up an automatic like daily or weekly jobs alert. And so you can have like specify the keyword zero waste or vegan or sustainability or whatever, and then get a regular email every time they have. And you can also pinpoint location if you want something specific. But yeah, you can look at like remote or wherever and get them straight into your inbox. So then you can apply for them like as soon as they come out. Thank you so much for listening to the Hippie Haven podcast. Your support means the world to me. If you found value in today's episode, I encourage you to become a patron of the podcast. For just $5 a month, you can help me continue the educational work I'm doing here with all of my wonderful guests. And in return, I'll pick up a bag of trash in your honor. Visit patreon.com/ahippieinavan to support this podcast. I also have an exclusive community for the podcast over on Facebook. So if you want to connect with me and other like-minded people, just type Hippie Haven in the Facebook search bar and join our group. Thanks again, and stay tuned every Wednesday for the next episode.